You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a great title for our coffee conversation this evening. Breach of contract and crisis of faith.
Well, I think that the issue that they had at the Capitol with the demonstrators in Washington, D.C. during the confirmation of the electorate votes by the Senate, you know, that was more than unfortunate. But what I think is that everything is not as we see it or as people think it is. I watched those demonstrations. I watched the people the night before. I watched them the day of, and they were extremely peaceful demonstrations. In fact, I kept thinking how many people there were there and how peaceful it was with just that huge, huge crowd there. I mean, it had to be hundreds of thousands of people there until a group started marching towards the Capitol, and then they, you know, got on the steps, and then it just takes a few to start something. And, you know, then kind of that mob mentality takes over. But my first thought, Ron, and I think it now, and news is coming out after the fact that validates what I thought then. Although I agree that anybody can grab a mob mentality. I mean, it's almost contagious when you're in a mob and you tend to do things you'd never think of doing. But on the other hand, Antifa was expected to arrive at that event, and they had had meetings, and some of them were posted on Twitter and taken down from Twitter, that said that they should dress as Trump supporters and start chaos. I believe that that's what happened.
Well, I can tell you categorically, because I now have the photographs with the enhancements, that at least some of the leaders that broke into the Capitol building were definitely Antifa members and from the Philadelphia chapter. And I've already posted a couple of photographs on Facebook so that people can see that for themselves. You can see them with and without their masks, but the most important photograph was one I got from the Philly chapter of Antifa, their own site, where they have their members bragging. This is a picture of them inside the Senate chambers bragging about what they did. And you can clearly identify them. And they are Antifa members. They are not Trump supporters.
Well, and
I'm not saying that there weren't Trump supporters there.
I agree.
Not
I
saying
agree.
That at all. But no. Your belief, which was my belief, that Antifa infiltrated the Trump rally and then dressed up in pro-American clothes, Trump clothes, you know, Trump, you know, hats and shirts,
yeah,
and broke in there and did a major amount of, you know, confrontation with police and damaged some things. Those people are Antifa.
I absolutely agree. And one of my first clues was one of the Trump, so-called Trump supporters, carrying a wanted poster for Donald Trump. And I knew that that would never happen.
And I saw you shared that picture with me. Mm-hmm. We were watching television. We took a still shot of that. And that was a good spot on your part. So that's a little bit of your law enforcement background.
So the other thing about this that has really made me angry is watching the media report it. And even the so-called conservative media, they have jumped in the boat with both feet. And they, you know, there is no investigative reporting. Listen, I didn't hear anybody say anything on the whole news about Antifa. Yet I'm sitting there watching the same thing that they're watching. Not only are they watching it, but they're the ones filming it as the media. And they see these things like this Trump wanted poster. You know, come on. Do you not think that something is off there?
No, you know, here's some of my feelings about this whole thing. And by the way, there's some people on Fox that I truly respect. And then there's people in Fox that I think, should be working for CNN. But, you know, even a couple of the people that I really respect, like, you know, Martha McCollum, I really love her show. I listen to her all the time. I watch her. She's extremely intelligent. But you know what, Linda? I've been listening to people like Rand Paul speak, a guy that I really respect is Trey Gowdy, okay, who's also a Fox contributor and former politician. I really respect him. I think he's got a lot of chutzpah. And some others. But what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is a validation of what you and I see when we go visit Washington, D.C. from time to time on business. And they don't call it the Beltway bubble for no reason at all. These politicians clearly are disengaged. You know, they say, well, we're all about the American people. You know, we know what's happening. You don't know what's happening. They're completely disengaged from what's happening in the United States of America to American citizens, and especially 74 million people that feel that they've been disenfranchised and taken out of the democratic process.
Well, and that's, you know, I didn't have so much of a problem with what those two people said that you just mentioned.
Well, I'm going to go into it.
Yeah. But what I do have a problem with is that they all miss the point. They completely miss the point. And the point is exactly what you just said, that 74 million of us feel disenfranchised. And we keep being told that we're wrong, that there's nothing to see here.
It's baseless.
That yes, there may have been some fraud, but not anything, you know, that even people that have been staunch Republicans say the same thing. And it makes me angry because what they are saying to me is that I don't know what I'm talking about, and they do. And no, they don't know any more than I know. What we all saw was we all saw fraud happen. We all saw things that cannot be explained away. All we've asked for all along is answers. That protest in Washington, D.C., which I think was a beautiful thing, I think it's about time that Republicans got out there and stood up for themselves and said, enough is enough. And that's what they were doing, but they were doing it in a very peaceful way. And I don't believe that all of that problem was caused by Republicans. It's just not, it is not who we are as a group. Now, there could be people that, there's always going to be people that cause trouble. So I can't say that it's not, but I absolutely, as you know now, and we all know that they had a lot of Antifa people in there and, you know, just kind of red herring made to look like somebody else kind of thing in that group. So the big point that has been ignored by the entire media and every politician, as they are blaming President Trump for this, is that it is all of them. It is all of them ignoring the theft of this election. And we want to know the truth, and they are preventing us from knowing the truth. And they don't even seem to care that they want to know the truth.
You know, and this is where I want to dump on a couple of people. That's where I want to dump on. And, you know, Martha, if you're listening to the show, I'm sorry. But, you know, the Trey Gowdy, who, like I said, I truly admire. I think he's one of the best guys out there. Rand Paul, I'm not a fan. But here's where they're coming from. Oh, my God. I'm so shocked that they decided to attack the Capitol building.
The People's House.
The People's House, okay? And we're going to come back to the People's House. But, oh, my God, this was a horrific day. This was the worst day ever in our democracy. How dare they attack the Capitol building? This is not a congressional or a Senate issue. It is a states' rights issue. Okay, Trey Gowdy kept saying that over and over again. Rand Paul saying that over and over again. You guys are missing it. You are all missing the point. It's called the People's House for a reason. It's our house. It's not your house.
And we are the people.
We bought and paid for it. We bought and paid for it with our treasure and with the treasure of our children and our children's children, our fathers, our grandfathers, our great, great, great grandfathers, paid for in blood and treasure and sacrifice, not you guys. Okay. You're visitors there. You are 2 year, 4 year visitors there. We own that house and we let you occupy our house. And what you've done is sacrilegious. You have become the money changers in our temple. And if you can't figure out why they attacked the Capitol, then you need to find a different job. Let me ask you a rhetorical question. Besides the Constitution, the document of the Constitution, can you tell me another greater symbol of democracy than the Capitol building complex? And when you defile the Constitution, then you defile our temple, and that's why those people walked on the Capitol. That's why they were in Washington, D.C., because all of you that are the rich elite oligarchy politicians have created such a sacrilegious circumstance with our freedoms and our constitutions. That's why they're there. That's why they're not in Pennsylvania. That's why they're not in Michigan. That's why they're not in Georgia. They come after the symbol of freedom and democracy. And I'm embarrassed that you didn't see it.
No, and I'm embarrassed that they let it go for this long without seeing the whole picture of what we American citizens who voted, who feel disenfranchised, are saying. And we have been ignored by the courts, by the politicians, by the media. We have been
minimized,
looked at as though we're just insane people, and we are over it, and we're not going to take it anymore. We're just not going to take it anymore.
We are going to take America back. We are going to take our democratic process back. We are going to take our due process back. And if we have to knock off every single one of you politically and replace you with new blood, then that's exactly what we're going to do. We are not going to forget about this. We are not going to forget about every single one of you. We're going to be just like Santa Claus. We're going to write our notes about who's been naughty and who's been nice, who has really defended the American people, who has stuck up for us. You may not like Donald Trump. He's really rough around the edges. He's sophomoric at times. I bang my head against the wall sometimes with Donald Trump, but he's the first person in our lifetime that has ever stuck up for the American people. Like him or not, he got a lot of stuff accomplished, but he's a human being and he makes mistakes. Would I wish that he wouldn't make these mistakes? Do I believe that they're preventable mistakes? I absolutely do. But they've been on this guy like white on rice for 24/7 for the last 4 years, and any man can break. And now you've got 74 million of us that are over the edge.
And we are. And we are not going to take it sitting down. And we are going to continue to protest. We are going to continue to rebel in any way that we can. And being conservatives, we tend to do it peacefully. But we are not going to forget this. We will never forget this. And you said, you politicians said that, you know, this is like the worst day in the history of the country. And look at the world looking at us. Yeah, look at them looking at you, because you all have no backbone to do the right thing. And therefore, the people had to stand up and say something. You have allowed, you want to blame all this on Donald Trump, and that's baloney. This is 4 years of Pelosi and Schumer and everybody in the Democratic Party after President Trump. They didn't respect our vote in 2016. So they went after him for 4 years, 4 years of prosecuting him, 4 years of putting the American people through a whole bunch of BS.
And putting us second and your desires to knock Donald Trump out with impeachment in the forefront, and you forgot all about us. Now, let me say something else about how disengaged you are. And I'm going to speak directly to Trey Gowdy and to Rand Paul and to people just like them that don't get it. You're intelligent. You're just not street smart. Okay. When you talked tonight about how the American people just don't understand, and they were out there, as Trey Gowdy says, on a fool's errand because they don't understand the political system, and it's a state issue versus a national issue, you forgot that this didn't happen overnight. It took about 40 plus years for you and your ilk to allow the educational system to go into the toilet, where we were not allowed to educate our children about civics. They don't even teach civics in school anymore. You did nothing about that. You did nothing to reform the Department of Education. You did nothing when they took history pretty much out of the schools and wrote revisionist history. You've done nothing when they took civics out of the classroom. This is your fault.
And you did nothing about immigration. And you did nothing about so many problems that we had in this country. And then you want to blame one man who has been persecuted for 4 years.
And you tell me, at a salary of $135,000 a year, how all of you have become multimillionaires and multiple houses, and you're on the government dole. How do you have your own retirement system instead of Social Security? How do you have your own medical health care system separate from the American people? Every single beautiful perk that you have that's paid by us, you have not invited us into your house. This has been your house of oligarchy. You are the money changers in the temple, and we are going to chase every single one of you evil, corrupt people out of there.
Well, on that note, I'm getting you your first cup of coffee.
I'm fired up, girl.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com, dronmartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
We're coffeeed up and calmed down, we're going to get riled up again.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you a question. We've been doing this show for a few years, all right? When was the last time you heard me as riled up as I am right now about what's going on in the United States of America?
No, we both had a very hard few days with that whole scenario. So it's, like I said, it's been a bad year. A bad few months, a bad election.
Oh, wait a minute. It's been a bad
4 years.
12 years.
Oh, yeah. Well,
12 years, people. We had to deal with Barack Obama and Joe Biden, the most untransparent administration in the history of the United States of America.
And I would say the most unethical.
And more scandals than any other presidency that I can remember in my lifetime. So it isn't a bad year. It isn't a bad few months. It isn't a bad 4 years. It's a bad 12 years. Okay. We saw the moment President Trump came into office, we started seeing for the first time someone who gave a damn about people in the United States of America, especially the working man and woman, the middle class, first responders, law enforcement, the military, and our veterans for the first time in a whole bunch of years.
Yes.
Okay. And don't forget, before that, and God bless him because he's a Texan, but George Bush, we had George Bush. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, okay? A super nice guy, loved his veterans, loved his military, good supporter of law enforcement, but not a real smart guy, which is how we got Barack Obama in the first place. And from the moment that Barack Obama took office, and I wrote about that in my Black Lives Matter book, he was extremely and inappropriately critical about law enforcement. And to me, that's where all this crap started.
And about religion too, which really kind of
So that's why I'm angry. That's why everybody else is angry.
Well, and here's the thing. These people have been, the first thing that they do, Ron, is they point fingers. So the media pointing fingers, the politicians standing up and saying, any Republican who supported, you know, having a problem with this election should not even be here, should not represent the people. No, none of you are representing us. That is the problem. That is, do you not see that that is the whole problem, that we feel completely disenfranchised, that you all did not pay attention to what we were saying about the election? It wasn't just President Trump saying it. It wasn't just that we're all like naive goats following him. Everybody could see there are thousands of representations from people through those elections about election fraud. There are more than you can count.
We are educated people. You and I, both law enforcement, both business owners, both educated people, both politically astute. We travel internationally. We're a little different than some people, okay? But we always see ourselves, because we work so damn hard and we help our employees put food on the table for their families and they become our family. You know, we care about what's going on in this country, all right? And when you see hundreds of thousands of people just like you and me, Linda, marching on Washington, D.C. and marching on the Capitol. And unfortunately, one of the demonstrators and actually a woman from San Diego, California, traveled all the way from San Diego, California. Her name is Ashley Babbitt, a businesswoman, but more importantly, a 14-year veteran of the United States Air Force with four deployments, four of them. When you get, that is the typical person that cares about the United States of America. And she will not be with us tomorrow because she was shot dead inside the Capitol building by law enforcement. So here's the question for all the smarty pants, attorneys, the mainstream media, even people on Fox News and our politicians. What creates the environment? What creates the circumstance? What creates the mindset so that a woman who's a businesswoman and a 14-year veteran of the United States Air Force who raised her hand, just like our politicians did, just like you and I did, Linda, and took our oath of office to protect and defend the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Why is she dead? First of all, ask yourself a question. Why did she and hundreds of thousands of people like her take time, spend their own resources to come to Washington, D.C. to protest? Who created that environment? It wasn't President Trump that created the environment. He's the person that invited them to come, but they had to have the mindset and the wherewithal and the desire to come to protest in Washington, D.C.
They had to have the passion.
Exactly.
They had to have a passion
for
something
that
was wrong.
So what creates that? What creates that where a person is losing money, going away from their business, going away from their family because she's married, she has a couple of kids. And what creates that, as you say, Linda, that passion, I'll change it, the frustration, the feeling of disenfranchisement, just made up a word.
The unfairness. The unfairness is what is heartbreaking to
who
all of us.
Who created that? It wasn't us who created that. We're the people.
And it wasn't President Trump who created that. It was the Democrats. It was the fraud that was perpetrated.
And the Rhino Republicans.
Yes.
And the do-nothing Republicans.
The Mitt Romneys of the world. And those are the people that have soundly ignored us. And we don't want to be ignored. We know when you know that something is wrong in your heart, and we've talked about this before, in my heart, I believe that the election was stolen. There's every bit of evidence that I need, but nobody would acknowledge it. The politicians, not the media, not the courts. And you can throw out all this stuff and say, oh, they didn't have standing and they didn't have this and that. Look what they did have.
And by the way, as a guy that has worked with the federal government for years, for God's sakes, don't believe all the smoke and mirrors that the federal government and their law enforcement agencies are the be-alls in law enforcement investigative process. For God's sakes, don't go in that direction because you're going to be bitterly disappointed. So, and I love the guy, Bill Barr, our attorney general. He's done so much as our attorney general. As I've said it before, I'm a little disappointed in Bill, but I've said it before, the best attorney general in my entire lifetime, and I was proud to be able to work on behalf of the federal government. But I got to tell you, he's just wrong. He's just wrong. And when you take a look at the major investigative agency for the Department of Justice is the FBI. Are you kidding me? Anybody read a newspaper? Anybody watch television?
Yeah. That protected Hillary.
Yeah. And so because the FBI says that they can't find any evidence of fraud, you really are naive enough to believe that that's the end of the game?
Well, I can bring them people.
Oh, the FBI said there was nothing there. Are you kidding me?
Okay, then I'm smarter than the FBI because I can bring them people in Arizona or Las Vegas. I would say Las Vegas that actually committed fraud. I could bring them people in all kinds of places that have ancillary relationships here and there. So people that I know that were poll watchers that said this and that happened, those kinds of people. You've heard all the testimony. It's been on television, but what they chose to do is they chose to ignore it. And that, Ron, is where we feel completely insulted, that we wanted answers. Okay, all you had to do is provide the answers. So investigate those things, but nobody did. Nobody cared to.
And that's the first part of it. Okay, so when I'm listening to Rand Paul, and I'm even listening to again, Trey Gowdy, and I'm sorry, Trey, I'm dumping on you because, brother, I love you, but you're just wrong here. You're just completely wrong. You know, you said, well, you know, that's why we have court systems. The court systems did not work for the American people.
Well, they're totally political now.
Absolutely. Okay, come on. Where have you been? Have you been asleep for the last couple of years when we've been trying to get conservatives on and constitutionalists on the United States Supreme Court? Were you asleep during Kavanaugh? I'm sure you weren't, because I used to listen to you rail against what was happening to Kavanaugh, and before him, who was the other one that they messed with? And then look at Barrett, Justice Barrett. You got to be kidding me. This problem is systemic. It's endemic and it's systemic throughout United States government. Yes, it's a state's issue, but you all in Washington, D.C. have been sitting on your hands. Not a one of you has gone out and lobbied in your own states to make sure that these problems with these election systems did not happen. It was your responsibility to speak up as our federal representatives, because even though these are state issues, they're federal issues, because they're voting for a president, they're voting for a senator, they're voting for a congressperson. So please don't, you know, kiss it back on the states. Yes, they're culpable, but you are just as culpable.
Yeah, and then it gets worse. And then we have the election in Georgia. And now people are saying that they saw numbers rolled back again from the Dominion machines. I haven't heard another word about it.
And
they sent ballots out unsolicited to all kinds of people. They should not be sending ballots unsolicited. People should have to ask for an absentee ballot.
Okay, so the governor in the state of Georgia is a Republican. The Secretary of State who oversees the election process is a Republican, a rhino Republican. Okay, but just listen to this for a minute, because none of this stuff is rocket science. They tried to bring the Dominion machines into the state of Texas where we're from. They failed in their certification process, not once, not twice, but three times. The state of Georgia was aware that the Dominion company had failed in the Texas certification process three times, yet the governor Secretary of State, these two guys ratified the contract with Dominion is a $110 million contract, Linda, for 3 years, and of which they paid them over 50% up front within the first few months of the first year of the contract. I mean, you and I do contracts all day long. When was the last time that you and I got a 50% payout in the first 3 months of a 3 year contract for $110 million? Do you know anybody that does that?
Well, and then when it all goes to hell in a handbasket, who is the judge but Stacey Abrams' sister, who then refuses to hear that there was a problem? So, I mean, come on, you cannot be, like you said, it's not rocket science. You can add 2 + 2 = 4. It's patently obvious that there are politics at play here.
And speaking of Stacey Abrams' sister, the judge, did nobody in Georgia, did the Republican governor, did the Republican Secretary of State, did anybody in the court system, did the Georgia Attorney General, did nobody say anything that this is a blatant conflict of interest? Do you know who Stacey Abrams is?
Yeah, there are so many problems. That is what we, the people, were marching about. That is why all those people were there, because they cannot get any reconciliation for all of these different things in Nevada, in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Georgia. We cannot rationalize what happened. And the biggest thing in my mind, Ron, is just if you take everything else out, I mean, they did so much wrong, but President Trump mentions 38 different things, but I'm going to say the biggest one for me, the numbers, just the numbers do not add up. The numbers of voters and the way that voting has been done historically do not add up to what happened. It's virtually impossible. And everybody wants to put blinders on, including the Republicans, and ignore what happened. Well, the people are not ignoring it.
President Trump, when he got screwed out of his election, when that election was stolen from our president, he warned everybody about Georgia, repeatedly warned them, warned the Republican, warned the governor, warned the Rhino Secretary of State, warned the Attorney General. He warned the Georgia legislature. He warned all of the justices of the Georgia court system. He did everything he possibly could do to warn people about exactly what happened in the Georgia election was going to happen, and it happened, and it was like a slow motion car wreck happening right before our eyes. The nightmare where you see it and it's slow motion and it's coming right at you and there's nothing that you can do about it.
And after all of that, they did it again. Went right back and did it in
the same way.
The same way.
Actually,
the same machines, the same mailing out indiscriminately to anybody, all of that. And you know, they kept saying that they were not going to allow people to move into the state and vote. Haven't heard of anybody that they said wasn't valid. No, this in my mind was another election that was stolen.
Let's grab, while we both take a deep breath, let's grab our last cup of coffee.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? Now, you were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list, and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com, and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
With all of this going on and all of this stress, I want to say a few kind words about Vice President Mike Pence. And I'll tell you what, I love Mike Pence. I have been a supporter of Vice President Pence from the get-go, even before he got the vice presidency. And I have to tell you that of all the politicians in Washington, and I respect a few of them, most of them I don't respect at all, but there are some that I respect very, Jim Jordan. I love Jim Jordan, people like that. When Trey Gowdy was there, I love Trey Gowdy. I'm dumping on him tonight, but I love you, Trey. But I have to tell you that I respect Mike Pence more than anybody there. I think he is the most well-rounded, intelligent, soft-spoken, God-fearing man in Washington. And I have so much respect for him. And I also, let me tell you another reason why I respect him. He has been the most loyal vice president, the most patient vice president, the most roll up your sleeves and get something done vice president. He's been the most out there, meaning getting work done, traveling all over the place, working on NASA, bringing NASA forward, traveling internationally as one of our international ambassadors, taking care of domestic issues, had a huge role in coronavirus, Operation Warp Speed. But most importantly, he has been as loyal as anybody could possibly be to President Trump. And now I have to dump on the president a little bit. I mean, fair play. got to dump on the president. President Trump, what the hell were you thinking expressing disappointment about Vice President Pence? This man, Vice President Pence, is a man of the rule of law. He's been in Washington for a good number of years, but he's still a young man, and he understands the legal process in the election process. He doesn't like it. He understands and has supported you in that your election got stolen from you, but he is still a representative of the rule of law, and he raised his hand just like we all did. And I have to tell you that, President Trump, I'm disappointed in you when you bag on Vice President Mike Pence, because he is a wonderful man and he's been caught between a rock and a hard spot, and the law is the law. The laws need to be changed. Linda has talked about that this evening. I'll second that. The laws need to be changed. And the people that are in political office, most of them are in law, lawyers, know that this needs to be changed. But for God's sakes, you are making a huge mistake in the last few days of your administration to dump on your vice president.
Well, and you're going to alienate him from your desire to run again in 4 years and have him as your vice president, because, you know, he's not going to want to be your vice president if you're going to bag on him. But I agree, he's probably the most ethical politician in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I don't have a defense for Trump. I think he's made some bonehead moves in his words, you know, during this whole thing. But I absolutely understand, and I feel for his frustration. He must be so torn up inside over the absolute unfairness, the wrongness of what happened to him.
It's been a betrayal.
It's a betrayal by so many people, and he can't seem to do anything about it. And I understand how frustrating that must be. I would be over the top I'm over the top frustrated just watching it happen. And you know what? 100,000 or more people in Washington that marched on Washington feel the same way, as do 74 million of us who were disenfranchised in that election. We have got to get our elections under control. And guess what? It's not going to happen under the Democrats. Now that we have a Democrat Senate and a Democrat Congress, and now that we have a Democrat going into the White House, and we have Kamala Harris, who's the tiebreaker, we can forget all of that. There is no way that they're going to want to fix a system that rolled them illegally and unethically and immorally into office. They are laughing all the way to the White House.
And I'm telling you what, we are all going to have a tough 4 years coming up. And by the way, it's going to go a lot farther out than 4 years.
Oh, because, the damage he can do with China, well, and America, the damage he can do with Puerto Rico, with Washington, with immigration, the damage that can be done in 4 years can just take us down a completely different path.
And you know what they're going to do, because you already see it happening. And Georgia was an excellent example. I mean, the presidency was the trial run for this thing. And they had that lockdown, and they said, we're going to use that same model in Georgia. And again, they were successful. We saw that. But now that we've got John Ossoff in there and Raphael Warnock, boy, I'll tell you what. So you got a guy, Georgians. Okay, what the hell are you thinking about? Yep. Okay, so you've got a guy in John Ossoff who worked for the Chinese Communist government, a company, not the government, but a company controlled by the Chinese Communist government, right? And did not talk about that while he was running for office. Raphael Warnock is a total loser. He's a Marxist. Well, he's not only a Marxist, but he's a woman abuser.
Yes.
All right. So look at that guy. That's a wolf in sheep's clothing. All right.
And that's who you vote for, Georgia.
So of all the people that you could run for office, Democrats, okay, these are the two people that you decided were the best ones to run for office. Okay, so guess what? The Democrats won. These two fellows are in there. And now that the Democrats are going to have control of the Senate, all right, they've got control of the House, they've got control of the presidency and the vice presidency, which controls the Senate. That's the vote casting tiebreaker is going to be Kamala Harris. Where we are going to go in the United States of America is going to be down the tubes. And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to solidify their power base, because 4 years is just the beginning. They're going to take the next 4 years and the next one and the next one and the next one. They're going to get rid of, if they can, the Electoral College vote. They're going to get rid of that. And the only reason we have President Trump in there was because of the Electoral College vote. Who are you kidding? And then when you see what they're going to do with the Green New Deal and all the jobs and fossil fuels and all of that going down the train.
And your taxes going up.
I'm telling you.
And your health care going way down.
And we're going to come back to Obamacare again. Let me know how that's going to work out for you. And then they're going to go the Bernie Sanders route, and they're going to give free education at least 2 years. Right? To everybody for free. Nothing's for free. Everybody's going to pay for it. And you can talk about taxing the rich all you want, but it all trickles downhill, and it's going to be born on the backs of the middle class. And it's going to be twofold. Not only are the people, when you say tax the rich, not only are the rich people who are the service providers going to increase what they charge for their goods and services, who's going to end up paying for those increases in goods and services? The consumer. Who's the consumer? The middle class.
Exactly.
Okay. Because the people that are not the middle class are on government subsidies. All right. So they can afford the big screen TV and everything. Why? You can't, because the government's already paying for their food. They're paying for their rent, and they're giving them subsidies.
And health care.
And free health care and free college.
Right. So now you're going to let immigrants roll across the border again so that you get
your COVID.
Yeah. You get your vote up. So now you want to get all the Democrats that you can to vote so that Republicans or conservatives can never get into office again. And this country will go the way of Venezuela.
Oh, absolutely. So let's just talk about that for a second. Let's take a look at some of these horrible government models that we have around the United States. Okay, you and I are formerly from California, that we refer to as Calisuela. Look at what's happening in California. Hundreds of thousands of people that are good wage earners and business owners and high-end taxpayers and giant corporations like Tesla, like Oracle, like Google have all pulled out of Calisuela. And they've come to states like Texas and Nevada, and they've gone over to Florida. Look what's happening to the state. So in California, 51% of the taxpayers subsidize 49% of the population. That is on government subsidy.
That was years ago. I bet it's...
You think it's more?
Yeah, I think
Well, I'm
more.
Just saying, okay,
Definitely.
So that's a good baseline. Yeah. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for you and me, Linda, when we said, we got to get out of here. When you got more people paying for other people, the people that are getting paid for, they're always going to want to be paid for.
You know what? Another thing that nobody ever talks about is all the people that retire. So all the law enforcement, the firefighters, the people that get pensions that retire, they leave California because their taxes are so high on their income tax, on their pensions and so forth. So they leave California. And then another state like Texas gets the benefit of the money that California is paying out. So, you know, they have lost so much. And they do have a recall effort going for Gavin Newsom, which is really gaining a head of steam. And I hope that it works, because he's the worst thing that could have happened to California. I mean, they've had a slew of bad governors for quite a while. So they need to make a change there. But, you know, when now, you know, the Democrats are fat and happy right now. They made this deal. They got away with it. And they're going to do whatever they can to ruin the future for conservatives in this country. We, as conservatives, need to start thinking about what we're going to do about that.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, look at the other things. Okay, so we talked about the economy. Let's talk about crime. Take a look at the 15 major cities that have the highest crime rates, the highest gun violence rates, the highest homicide rates, and it's actually 30 cities, but I'm just going to pick on the top 15. All of them are controlled by Democrats.
You know what? You just made something come to my mind that I have to say. The hypocrisy that went on about this so-called riot that happened in Washington, D.C., which they called a riot. If you looked at those hundreds of thousands of people, they were peaceful people. There was a very small contingent, now that we know, that headed up by Antifa. Don't doubt that there were some conservatives there. People get carried away. But I absolutely believe that it was outside forces doing the big damage. Okay. The big insult comes from all the Democrats, right? Oh my gosh, this is happening here. This is happening. Where was Joe Biden? Where were any of these people when people were tearing apart Seattle and
Black Lives Matter and Antifa?
And you name the city, Ron. There were so many cities that they ruined and killed people. And all of a sudden, they're insulted. And the biggest one for me was the mayor of Washington, D.C., who has had riot after riot over there and done nothing about it and defended it. And then all of a sudden, when conservatives march on Washington, she's got every law enforcement agency out there. I have not seen that much law enforcement in any of these real riots where they're throwing firebombs and burning police cars and shooting people and destroying property and breaking windows and looting stores. I've not seen it. You didn't see any of that behavior in Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, I'm gonna talk about that because we've talked about it before in you know, a couple of our shows, Washington, D.C. specifically. When we had Black Lives Matter there creating those riots and we had Antifa there creating those riots, like you said, she didn't do a damn thing. Mm-mm. She ratified. Let me tell you, here's the living proof of ratification of Black Lives Matter riots. What they used to call Lafayette Square across the street from the White House, it's now called Black Lives Matter Square.
I want to say something about that square.
If you don't think that's ratification, you're nuts.
Yes. And that's a horrible thing. It should never be called that. But when the people were marching in Washington, I watched them climb on those statues with their flags and either sit or stand and hold up their flag. Nobody tore one down. Nobody defaced a statue. Yet when Black Lives Matter was there and Antifa, they were tearing things down and ruining them, and throwing paint on them and defacing them and breaking them. Yet they called out more law enforcement for this peaceful crowd than they did for any of those riots.
And you noticed that the first thing she did was call out the National Guard.
Yes.
That was the first thing she did, the last thing she did when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were in there and they were rioting and they were tearing down the statues and defacing the buildings, vandalizing the buildings, looting the buildings.
New York didn't call them in. Portland didn't call them in. Seattle didn't call them in. There was only one or two cities that did call them in.
Yeah. Well, this was a way to try to intimidate the Trump supporters. And, you know, yes, they're Trump supporters, but I see them more as constitutionalists, meaning they were there to fight for the United States Constitution, for our freedoms, for our Bill of Rights and due process. And they were pissed off, as we talked about in the first part of our show, about the lack of due process, the minimizing of what our concerns are of the ratification of Marxism, of socialism, of cheating on our votes, and denying our president an opportunity to have four more years where he clearly won that election.
And denying us to have an answer to our questions about that election. Yeah. So those issues will remain unresolved. And that is not going to set well for every future election.
Well, Linda, you know what? I'm telling you what. One of the things that they said in the Senate, because they're talking about how the mob didn't win. The mob didn't win because the Senate was able to come and meet and ratify and certify the election. Y'all got it wrong. Y'all got it wrong. You didn't win anything. You didn't win anything. Okay. You got in there, you were hiding out, then you came. And if it hadn't been for your military, and if it hadn't been for your huge law enforcement presence, this would have continued. So you didn't win a damn thing. And where you think that is the end, this is just the beginning.
And you again took their voice away by not allowing the senators to get up and voice their problems with the election.
Exactly. And the people will have a voice in the people's house. And again, we will not let you take over the people's house. Your time is done. You know, we don't try to tell you what to think. We just tell you what's out there and we tell you how we think.
Well, we talk like every American talks at their kitchen table. You know, we're not the news. We're not the media. We are two common sense conservatives who definitely have feelings and opinions about what happens in our country every day.
And we think very strongly about patriotism. And we believe that we are American patriots. And we know you, if you're listening to this show, you're an American patriot. So Linda, let's tell people how they can listen to Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married.
Well, listen to Dr. Ron and Linda on AmericaOutloud.com. You can listen live and you can listen on any of your favorite podcast.
Spotify.
Yeah. Stitcher, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. You can subscribe so that you never miss one of our episodes. We are on weeknights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday.
And you can catch us on podcast. So usually within 2 days of doing a Talking While Married show, it bounces right up to podcast. And most of our shows are fairly evergreen and you can catch us 24/7. And by the way, listening to Ron and Linda is not the end, because you can catch Linda Martinelli, who's a contributing writer to AmericaOutloud.com. And you can also catch Dr. Ron's books, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter and The War on Police, at drronmartinelli.com. And Linda, we got a couple of new detective thriller fiction books out there. Wade Justice, Texas Ranger, Absolute Justice, and Justice for All.
You can get those on Wade Justice, J-U-S-T-U-S. com.
That's WadeJustus.com. And we'll see you on the radio.